Hello and welcome to Filmstalker Film Club. I think this is a special edition that we're going to be looking at three films, actually, instead of one. But don't worry, don't panic, it's not full-length feature films that we're going to be doing, and this podcast can end up being 3 hours long. Well, actually, it could well be 3 hours long. But, no, we've picked three short films. And the reason for this is that somebody emailed me a little while ago and pointed me in the direction of a website called Indies Movies. I'm going to get this wrong already. IndieMoviesOnline.com. I said that in another podcast and I was doing the same thing, wasn't I?
No.
Indies Movies Online. Anyway, IndieMoviesOnline.com, all one word, apart from the dot which separates the com and the rest of it. So that's really clear and concise now. Everyone will find that, no problem. Anyway, Indies at Movies... Indie, I've done it again! IndieMoviesOnline.com. Plural is not in the indie. God's sake, Richard. Right, IndieMoviesOnline.com. There we go. They've had a huge amount of plugs now. Anyway, they emailed me and said, do you want to pimp our site a bit? Maybe do a review or something. I said, yeah, that's cool. Let's do a review. Let me know which films I can review. Give me an account or whatever. Not realising that actually every movie on the site is free. And that was quite surprising when they started mentioning directors like David Cronenberg, films like The Auteur, actors like Thingy, who's just totally gone out of my mind. I'm looking at a picture of him as well. Come on, guys, help me out here. Reel off some names. Battle Royale's on there.
The guy, the gangster...
The guy that's the gangster.
I kind of start speaking when I couldn't even think what I was going to say.
Oh, God, how rubbish are we? Come on, guys, come on, help me out.
Baysmore's on there. There's some really good indie documentaries. Really good one about body art, which is...
Chopper's on there. There's a good example.
Chopper.
The boss on there.
And some really good shorts as well. There's a load of stuff from Aardman, which is great.
My Left Foot, The Original Brothers is on there, Summer Scars, The Boss of It All, Highway Patrolman. There we go, that's done pretty well already. They are all free for you to watch. You don't actually even, am I right in saying you don't actually even have to sign up for it if you don't want to?
No.
You can actually watch a movie. We've all signed up for it anyway. And even that, you don't have to do much on. They don't take loads of details or anything, but it gives you the ability to rate and review the films you've watched. I thought, that's unbelievable. They can't have that kind of that amount of really good films for free. But when you get on the site, it's quite astounding when you start looking through the back catalogue and you notice all these films. So what we decide to do is we're going to do one round as normal, where we all pick a feature film and we get voted on it and we choose one to review. But we realise there are so many short films on here. What we do is we pick a short film each and just review all three, because a short should be shorter. We'll come to my choice last. I was going to say first there, I meant to say last. But Stephen, what was your choice of short film from IndieMoviesOnline.com? Yes!
Well, my short was Where's the Money, Ronnie? It was, I'm not sure if it was his first, but it was a Shane Meadows written and directed film from 96. And it was just, that's all, a Shane Meadows short from early in his career. I'll give that a go.
Yeah, actually, I think it was his first, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It was his first short film.
Okay. His
first film listed on IMDb anyway. I'm sure he did something before that.
I think the Rashomon by way of Tarantino sold it as well. Not only was it Shane Meadows, it sounded like a good story.
Yeah, that was a short write-up on the site, wasn't it? IndieMoviesOnline.com. Mark, which one did you choose?
I chose one called I Am Bob from 2007, which is essentially about Bob Geldof's worst night ever. Where he stops his limo to go for a wee and the limo driver drives off. Directed by a guy called Donald Rice, written by a guy called Donald Rice, who bizarrely has not done much before or since. But it attracted me because it said, you know, comedy, looked pretty well made, and that was it. Simple as, quite a shallow guy. Plus anything with a load of kind of looky like he's in always might be quite funny. That was it.
The one I chose, which I feel very embarrassed about now, and we'll come to why later on, is a David Cronenberg short film, which you think, wow. And it was quite an early one from his career, actually, called Program X Secret Weapons. It was actually for a TV series called Program X, and his one was specifically called Secret Weapons. Yeah, we'll come to that one in a minute. So who wants to go first and talk about theirs?
Why did you choose that one, though, Richard, firstly?
Why did I choose that one? I think, okay, so the name David Cronenberg popped out at me. And do you know what? To be honest, I'd forgotten that we'd already reviewed a David Cronenberg short from the site already. Now, that was meant to be a test. It might actually go out on air. I'm not sure.
Was forgettable, the first one of his.
Yeah, it was forgettable, although not quite as bad as this one. In the write-up, the idea behind it sounded quite interesting. And I was reminded a bit of Scanners by it, so I thought, yeah, let's have a look. Maybe it's an early stab at it.
And yeah, so, I agree with you. The synopsis we got on the site, it did make it sound like it was going to be a lot better than it was.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I just wanted to be slightly different from you guys as well. I wanted to try and get an interesting split of movies, which I think we did manage quite well. So, yeah, who wants to go first? Or are we just going to rip the hell out of Secret Weapons first?
We may as well. Yeah.
Let's do that. Start with the shit one.
So it's a 1972 film, directed by David Cronenberg and written by Norman Snyder. I think Cronenberg had some hand in the writing and the idea as well. It's for this TV series called Program X, and his episode's called Secret Weapons. It was made for Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's Program X series. There we go. David Cronenberg has referred to it as his suppressed film, which is interesting, which I guess we'll come back to. But here's a quick blurb. It is 6 years into a future American Civil War. A man has created a drug that enhances fighting skills. But will he give it to... Sorry, you'll find out why I'm laughing in a bit. But will he give it to the theocratic government or the rebels? A Cronenberg-directed television curio from the early 70s. So that sounded quite interesting to me. 27 minutes short. As I said, when I read that, I thought, this reminds me a little bit of Scanners. Because Scanners is all about a drug that enhances the mind, makes people into weapons, that kind of thing. And I really enjoyed that, and I thought, this could be quite interesting. However, I think it's pretty damn awful.
I think pretty damn awful has been for...
It's a mess.
It's worse than damn awful. I don't think I've watched anything as bad that has lasted so much shorter time as well.
Of it, actually, for me, was watching the main character walk back and forth with a voiceover.
And the voice... I mean, that voiceover was terrible, too.
Yeah.
Well, there was two voiceovers. There was the... There was the main guy, there was his voice that talked a lot, but there was also some kind of narrator as well.
Yeah.
Even more bizarre voice.
So, and the lead actor sounded really not interested, and the voiceover guy sounded like a paedophile. So, you know, you're being creeped out and bored to death.
Their method of attack involves the alternation of calm and reasonable behavior with the entirely irrational. They even reassure the subject by demonstrating knowledge of his work.
There's nothing more fascinating than that, then.
What are you protecting me against?
Oh, we're not protecting you against anything.
I just didn't see what... Okay, so I did see the relation of the blurb to the story and the fact that this guy had a drug and he promised these things about it. Sorry, the voiceover guy promised these things about it. But the rest of the story is just nonsensical and complete rubbish. There's no... interest, there's no hook, there's nothing visual that's really interesting. The actors can't even carry anything off in any of the scenes either. It's just...
Yeah, and right at the beginning, it's the narrator says something about this was you're watching film that was shot in 1977. So you know there and then that this is all in the past. So you expect answers as well. And they seem to forget that they've said that at the beginning. I don't think there's nothing ties any of the scenes together at times.
And then that whole thing about the Civil War, well, I didn't see anything to even suggest any of that. People were going about their normal lives at the start, driving along the freeway, it seemed all fine. And then they were sitting in a enclosed room and there's some creeps talking to people and weird uplighting on people's faces. Oh, that guy who was interviewing the lead character, and he gets tapped by this guy off screen.
There's another guy at the beginning with glasses, looks like one of the goodies.
Oh, yes, yes. So that's where it feels a little bit saner, doesn't it?
A little bit saner than what's to come, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about Lee. I was going to say, where is the guy that keeps tapping him?
Do you not remember? There was,
no, so I remember. I'm just wondering why he was being tapped.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any notion to it. This guy with what looks like one of those fly swatters just leans over and smacks him in the chest now and again. Interrupts his mid-conversation. You're like, will you stop doing that? Get on with the conversation. But it just seemed to be these little scenes that had no connection. And the whole storytelling was fractured by periods of just these drawn-out shots and background music making little sense while the lead character just paced the room or sat there.
Of course, the music was awful as well and pointless and didn't always go. And
you've got the big dialogue bit at the end where that girl sat against a wall and actually rewound it to ask herself, is this making any sense? And you know what? It just wasn't.
And it's interesting as well that she starts laughing at the wrong part.
Yeah.
And you're just like, she's actually laughing because of the dialogue she's saying, and they kept filming it.
How about if I join up just as an ordinary soldier, just slogging along like everybody else?
Can you ride a bike? If you want to play poker, you've got to have a deck of cards.
Well, I did watch it twice, because last time with the lighter, I didn't get it, so I thought. And I never watched it again, because I just thought, I don't want to watch that again. And I didn't want to watch this again. But I thought, no, let's watch it again, see what I missed, and maybe it'll make sense. And it made less sense the second time around.
Yeah, there's just no understanding to it. There's no story arc to it either.
And the fact that it was the Civil War, and he was out there, and he was selling this drug to one side, and then he got away from them and tried to sell it to the other side. But one side's this massive corporation that seems to run everything. And then the second guy's a few guys on a bike, and you think, this is the Civil War. A few bikers and this massive...
And by their own admission, they weren't even interested in fighting the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you absolutely can see... There were some things in it. What it felt like to me was they'd sketched out an idea and they were trying something out. And what they were trying out was an early Scanners. Because a lot of the ideas were there for it. The idea about the drug, and it was obvious that they were doing something to the humans or the human mind or something that made them better soldiers. And then there's the voiceover implies that the lead character at one point is enclosed in the corporation's room, which is the only way I can describe it, because they don't even seem to be in a building. It's just this one room, and he's made to stand there and talk to the guard all the time, and the guard's there to just look after him for some reason.
I can't stop laughing to myself.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to explain it, and it doesn't make any sense to me either as I'm saying it. But there's this scene there where the dialogue's really bad, but they have a sort of back and forth, and what it's trying to show. The mastery of the conversation switches from one person to the other. And it's supposed to be obvious that the lead character is using this drug and his mind power to win over the conversation and win over the guards so he can get a hall pass to leave the company. And it's just done so badly, but the idea's there, and you can kind of see that what he's talking about is that he's using the power of the mind to control people.
Yeah, the narrator introduces that scene as psychic judo.
Occasionally, these experts underestimate the telepathic resources of their subjects. Then something akin to psychic judo occurs, and the expert finds himself at a serious disadvantage.
Well, that guy, you know, the guy in that scene at the beginning, he must be the worst band, the Irish guy, or he has an Irish accent at some point, and he's this bad guy that he's got, and you think he's going to be the worst bad guy ever.
And his accent changes every few sentences. Did you notice that?
He gets his Irish.
Irish, British, American, something else. It was kind of weird. Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. But the ideas there, I thought, were the start of... It was the sort of sketching out of Scanners.
I just can't believe how badly it was written.
Yeah.
And kind of reading the bio on indie movies online... Apparently, one of the guys that wrote it's Norman Snider, Snyder. Judging by his competence on this play, he wrote Dead Ringers with Cronenberg. I just cannot see anything there that relates in the slightest to Dead Ringers, because that's quite a good film. And this was just bloody awful.
I think it was 72 and maybe drugs were involved. I mean, that's the only excuse you can give. There's got to have been some psychedelics left over from the late 60s. And they've, let's use all these and make a film.
Do you know what? So I can see them sitting with a video camera and making up a few scenes just to play out some ideas and sketch out this idea of scanners. And then them going, do you know what? We could sell this to CBC and chuck it on the program X. There's about 20 minutes of really bad footage here. Just chuck on some music. We'll make some money, keep us going until we can make a proper movie. No? Okay.
Yeah, maybe. You know, it is 1972 after all, and people are used to watching rubbish TV programs. But it doesn't change the fact that it just doesn't gel together. The story just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, Stephen, I was like, shall I rewatch this? Have I really missed something here? I've got a dentist appointment this week, and I thought, torturing myself twice in 1 week, there's just no fun in that.
I'd rather sit through the drill being pushed into my molar without anaesthetic than watch that rubbish again. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Stephen, you had you'd picked out some cool lines from it, didn't you?
Well, there was so many bad. I mean, there's at one point where they're talking to each other and the narrator says, much of what appears on your screen occurs at a subverbal level. And you think, what does that mean?
To save us writing it.
There was something like Lee. I mean, the one thing I liked was Lee. It was called Lee. And I don't know whether that was because generally lost the Civil War and they thought, let's put him on the winning side in this. I don't know. Other than Lee's name, there's nothing else that was in that film that was good. It's worth watching. Just get to, I mean, don't watch it all. 20 minutes is way too long. Just fast forward and listen to a couple of words through it. You'll get what it's about.
Right, so that's Program X, Secret Weapons.
It sounds fantastic.
Personally, I would say don't even bother watching it. Take a word for it, it's rubbish. And it shows that people are viewed as great directors aren't always that great. All right, who's up next? Let's try and win something back from this. Let's do your Stephen. Where's the money, Ronnie?
I'm starting to get the feeling that I have become the victim of a conspiracy.
I mean, there was a moment in that where it was really good. I mean, that opening scene as the title was coming on and he was running around the streets looked really good. I better say what it's about, huh?
do the blurb from the site?
There's not much blurb. It says it's Shane Meadows' debut short where he also acts. It's Rashomon, by the way, Tarantino. Four guys interviewed by the police give different accounts of an armed robbery. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was the four guys interviewed? I can only think of three.
Yeah, there were, I think.
Yeah, well, that's one of the bits I think it didn't handle very well, because the idea is, isn't it, that you see the events from four different points of view, revealing either a different part of the story to give you the complete story, or a different version of the story. So you have to, by the end, one, you either make up your own mind, or you're given a view to the right one to create, or whatever. That's my idea of my understanding of what it should have done.
Yeah, somebody's given money, somebody else is after the money, they're fine, the other guys turn up in a car, they want the money, and it's the story's about
John. Yeah. But I didn't feel it did that effectively. It didn't give us a different point of view, it just gave us a bit more of the little story and then stopped.
I think the concept was fine. I mean, a really good, a full feature film of, you can imagine the police get this where they'll interview four guys, they know what's happened, and they do get four different stories. I think it was a bit, I mean, it's a short, and I think it was a...
You're right, I can imagine it, but I didn't see it in that film. And there were good things as well, so I'll come to that, but the key thing for me is that it didn't succeed in showing those different aspects of the story that either fooled me and then revealed the real one at the end, or made me think, oh, which one's right? You know, it was just
But it does say then, doesn't it? So he was right, or what happened? You decide, or it's up to you.
Yeah, it goes at the end.
Yeah, it does with the title, yeah. But I didn't feel that I'd been presented with different points of view for then me to decide. I didn't really feel that at all.
Yeah, I think that's because of the way it was filmed very fast and lots of handheld camera work, and you weren't quite sure what was going on at the times. It was black and white. They all pretty much looked the same.
What had me was the opening. So that first character that appears, the guy, did he have a swastika on his forehead or something?
The first interviewed guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy with the swastika.
He had me laughing out loud. He was hilarious.
Well, I thought that was terrible, that first one.
I had to get the cash because I had to do my own decorating. I needed to get another Jasper Conran book to sort some things out. I've got some bad COVID and I needed to get it done.
Oh, I'd loved the way he was just so manic, and then he would just go over the top in a sudden flurry, and then come back to normality and say something really bizarre.
See, I didn't sense that was intentional. I think he was trying to just do angry and wasn't doing a very good job of it.
All right, I didn't think of that. I just thought it was comical and laughed at it.
Yeah, I thought kind of, you know, the four main actors were okay. Bearing in mind, I'm going to excuse him here, and we should have already done that for Cronenberg, but bearing in mind, you know, it was one of his first shorts. I thought it was pretty well put together. I mean, it's only a really short film. In fact, it's the shortest of the three we've seen, isn't it?
4 minutes.
But, yeah, but, you know, it does what it says on the tin. As far as I was concerned, I didn't expect, you know, to find out which was the right version. And yeah, Richard says, you know, you don't get enough information, but it was just enough for me. And I thought, the four actors were pretty good. I actually was surprised by how good Shane Meadows was.
As an actor, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, there must be a reason why you don't see him in front of the camera, but there isn't. He was actually pretty good. And I thought, the only bit which I was like, hang on, what's going on here, was the bit with the cricket bat. Because it was shot too fast. I just couldn't figure that bit out. But apart from that, yeah, it was okay. And as it says on the site, Shane Meadows got a free suit out of it, so it can't be all bad.
No, I'm willing to forgive some things because it was an early short. You know, the musical interludes, there's one of them, it's a bit little too long. The fighting scenes are far from convincing. Well, that's cool, you know. That doesn't bother me so much. But it just didn't work for me when that You Decide came up. It seemed too early. There wasn't enough contradictory evidence in those stories, if you like, or discussion about who was taking the money. And I just felt there should have been a bit more written about, and this doesn't mean time either, but a bit more concentrating on those speeches about the contradictory views of who'd taken the money and who'd started the fight. I just didn't feel there was enough of that for then, when the You Decide comes up, for me to feel like I did have to decide or could decide. Saying that, though, you know, it's rough, but it does show good promise, and the comedy and performances to the camera were good, and it does show a lot of promise for Meadows.
And I don't think the Cronenberg one, I think with the Cronenberg, you get the sense where he thought he was making a great film. Whereas this one, you get, I mean, there's a shot at the end where it shows at 24, and you can imagine these are all friends that are at uni, doing school, and they thought, I've got an idea, let's just film it and see what it looks like, and they did a good job of it.
Yeah, that is a good point in comparison, actually. Yeah, it does feel like Cronenberg's trying to make something amazing, and Meadows is trying to make something with the best he's got to show off the talent of him and the people around him.
Yeah, I mean, for me, kind of expanding on that slightly, you can see Shane Meadows is the style already evolving from this, because it looks very similar to, you know, Dead Man's Shoes and A Room for Romeo Brass and stuff like that. Whereas the Cronenberg one, it bears no relation to anything that he's kind of famous for producing, I don't think.
No. So I still go back to that, Scanners. I think there's some ideas and there's some things in there, but it's a long, long way off.
Yeah, I don't think you can look at that Cronenberg one and think, apart from the story, the psychic thing being there, you can't see anything that comes later on as a director. As with this, you see these council estates that he films on a lot, and the style in Shane Meadows is from is there already. It's just polished. Cronenberg is polishing a turd about that first one, and it's nothing like he does after.
I don't think he's polishing anything. I just think he's let one out.
That's true, yeah.
That's it. He's let one out on film, and then, there you go.
It's a turd, there's no polishing, yeah.
And to be fair, that's Meadows shows a lot more. It shows a lot more work on it.
Yeah.
So, producer, you'd be happy to give Meadows money to make another one.
Yeah. I just think if there'd been more writing on, and more time spent on those contradictions and building those three up a bit more, I think it would have been a lot better. And it started off well for me and dipped towards the end.
Yeah, but I think maybe that was a budgetary constraint or a time constraint or something. Because at 12 minutes, it is short, but with an extra 10 minutes, I would love to have seen an extra 10 minutes of this. I really would.
Oh, and that's something we didn't bring up about Program X Secret Weapons. What was it you guys noticed about the running time?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's been cut, but the running time on IMDb and on the site say that it lasts about 27, 28 minutes. It's about half an hour. Whereas the actual running time of Cronenberg's film was 21 and a half minutes. I don't know if anything was cut out.
All the cohesive story bits.
The acting, the decent music.
There's a masterpiece in those bits that was edited out. Hardly. Okay, so that was Where's the Money, Ronnie? Finally, Mark, your choice was I Am Bob.
Hello? Yeah, it's Bob. Romanian orphanage. No, I just do Africa.
Yeah, so made in 2007. I Am Bob is, it says so here on IndieMoviesOnline.com. I Am Bob, a funny short featuring Bob Geldof playing himself. When Sir Bob Zemo leaves him stranded en route to a charity gig without money or a phone, he's forced to take part in a lookalike talent show, only to find another Bob Geldof in the lineup. That says it all.
And it does, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of twists and things, but you know, there's nothing more to it than that, and that's not a bad thing. I thought it was freaking hilarious.
Yes, so did I.
And I think actually the word genius came into my head at one point. The whole idea.
I can't think of a thing wrong with this film. I mean, there's just nothing wrong with it. I would not say that needs change, you know, that shouldn't have been there, or if this was there. It's a perfect short film.
It is.
We should end there, shouldn't we?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? You've summed it up there.
I think what it does as well is there's a very clear image of Bob Geldof, and it's grown out of that statement from Live Aid, I think. Yeah. And that's become him, that's defined him. And yet he's so different to that. And this short film, it shows that. He's so eager to make fun of himself and also to make a joke of those moments, that defining moment of the way everybody thinks he is and the way he's become in the media. And he just throws that apart in this short film.
Yeah, there's the bit in the beginning when he's in his limousine and he gets the phone call and somebody says, "Have you got? Can you give us, some charity for, is he hungry? Somewhere in the some Eastern European charities after some of his money." And he's raising why I'm going to do a picture of Africa.
And I think that's really, you know, when you read that on a script, or he's doing that for the first time in front of the camera, it must be going through his mind, this could be really dangerous for his image. And not just that, actually, for the charities as well. You know, because that kind of statement could be used to rip him apart if the film didn't work.
Yeah, but it's all about what we perceive him to be rather than what he is. And he's done so well throughout it.
I think as well, Geldof is really good in it. So the short is really well edited for a start, but the comedy pauses from Geldof are just fantastic. You know, he knows when to just say nothing and when to be himself. And well, of course, it'll all be scripted as well by Donald Rice, who also directed. And they know just when to light his fuse and go off. And it was that whole final sequence where he's up on stage. And he's singing the Boomtown Rats number against the other Bob Geldof in the competition to see who will win. that it's just timed to perfection when he goes off.
Yeah, I would agree there. But for me, what made it was, and I mean, a lot of this is going to focus on Bob Geldof, is the gusto that he just chucked himself into that role. Because if he'd even held back a tiny, tiny bit, it just wouldn't have worked.
Mm.
You know, and it was obviously, you know what, in for a penny, in for a pound. And for me, that's what made it work. And, you know, there's a couple of other quite good characters in there that at times I was sat there going, oh, Jesus Christ almighty. Because the compere's played by Brian Connolly, who makes some fantastically off-colour remarks every now and again. But it's the setting in which you see the other lookalikes. So there's tons of other people there. But the first time you see the guy dressed as Pope John Paul II, I think he's fixing his battery in his car or something like that, which I thought was quite funny. And there's somebody else working behind the bar, and Marilyn Monroe serving drinks and stuff like that. Well, I thought that was pretty good. And also just kind of seeing... Go on.
Well, these characters, a lot of them are played by well-known faces off TV as well.
Were they?
Well, yeah, Maxine, the one that played Marilyn Monroe, she's in Shameless.
Oh.
She was the neighbour in Shameless, and she's been in a few other of these dramas. Claire Rushbrook was in Ashes to Ashes for they just appear in all these type of TV shows.
Right, I didn't know that. Well done.
Oh, good call, yeah. I think I recognised a couple of faces, but Brian Connolly seemed to be the one I recognised most. You know, and it was actually, so it's just sparked something off my head. One of those things was seeing the Queen, or the lookalike playing the Queen, having a cigarette there and having a drink. And I wonder if there's something in here about the facade of the celebrity. I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into a comedy short, but it does feel like there's something in there about that celebrity facade and what people really are like. And
yeah, maybe. You can kind of see it, you know, in there. I don't know, because it is a short, but maybe that's what he was trying to get at, that it is all, you know, just a facade. And behind that, people are very different things, because that's certainly how St. Bob came across, isn't it?
Mm.
And it did cut to the lookalikes, the extras, a lot as well. I mean, yeah, there's singing a song, you get a cut to Beckham and Posh where they're swaying side to side singing I Don't Like Monday's chorus, and Saddam Hussein's joining it.
That's right.
Oh, dear. But the lookalike Bob Geldof, is that David Bamber?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He's really cool as well, because he's trying to devour the stage, isn't he?
And yeah,
at the time, Geldof's like, oh, I really don't want to be here, and he's just struggling through the words of the song, which he's probably sung millions of times, doesn't want to be on stage doing it again. And then just slowly, bit by bit, he gets more and more wound up by this lookalike taking the stage until he's really given it everything.
Yeah.
But it's the scene at the end where it becomes a quiz on Bob Geldof's life.
That's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, he looks genuinely upset that he doesn't have the answers.
Because he doesn't have the answers for the first speed. Then he complains that his button doesn't
work. Yeah.
The buzzer's not working.
Oh, this is ridiculous. This buzzer isn't working. Are you that one?
Yeah, yeah. The buzzers cannot work together. The earlier one will counteract the other. Huh? See? Yes. Just keep your hands on the buzzer. Good lad.
But it's the answer to the question, I can't remember the year, but why was he in, for what reason was you in the app for in 1994? And he presses his button and he Geldof rounds off these reasons.
Yeah, drink, drugs, sexual addiction.
Well, he starts listing all the drugs as well, it's unfair.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Antidepressants, and everyone's just looking at him, and Brian Connolly's going, what the?
For what addiction
were you admitted to rehab in May 1997?
Opium, heroin, cocaine, amphetamines, barbiturates, pills generally, nicotine, booze, and sex.
Well, it just says drugs here, but we'll let him have it, eh?
Yeah, it's full of excellent moments, actually. So this is where I'm going to admit I'm not a great fan of short films. And it's taken me some festivals where they play short films at the start of the features you're going to see, which I think is a genius idea. It's taken some of them to get me into them. and I'm still not quite there, but I would say to anyone who hasn't to watch I Am Bob, because it's, I think it's like you were saying, Stephen, it's nigh on perfection, actually.
Yeah, and it has to be said that it's not just Bob Geldof, but all the pieces of that film fit together, and a lot of it is down to David Bamber, who plays Bob Geldof.
Yeah.
Opposite Bob Geldof. But he's been in tons of stuff before. I mean, he was Hitler in Valkyrie, wasn't he, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, he has got acting chops, but the way he pulls it off is just brilliant. And but
I was going to say, let's give Donald Rice some credit as well, because he's the writer and director, and he's obviously written these scenes. And we don't know how much has come out while they've been rehearsing or what, but the whole idea and the concept and the way it's built up is just superb. And that a lot of that's going to be down to Don Rice's writing and his direction, and presumably editing as well on this.
I mean, it took 7 days to shoot. There's an interview with him on one of these festival TV websites.
All right.
Where he says he had he got the script, he sent it to Geldof. He had the idea of somebody that he knew for certain things, not just as a pop star or whatever. And Geldof fitted all these. So he sent the script to Geldof, who said, yeah, as long as we can sort time out, I'll be happy to do it. And with this letter he got from Geldof, he got money in for it. And I think he got 4 days at the time for shooting. And it took 7 in the end, which we said was a problem getting Geldof for these 7. But he was happy to do it. And he said if he didn't ask Geldof at the time for 7 days of his time to shoot it, he'd probably said no. But saying 4 and then find out it ran over, but he'd be happy to do the 3 extra.
Mm.
But the same with all these lookalikes that he got, he weren't sure where they were going to be. He said some weren't as good as others. Probably used the really good ones, like Mick Jagger. Was fantastic as well, the way he had that talk.
Yeah.
But there were some terrible ones in there that looked bad and were hilarious for it. Like Posh and Becks, I thought were pretty awful. But I thought they were cool for it.
Yeah, I thought they were okay. I didn't get the Margaret Thatcher one. She was just looked just like a grandma. So I didn't really kind of see that one. And apparently Superman was there, and I've watched it a couple of times, and I just couldn't see Superman.
I don't get that one either.
So, but there were some good ones there. Yeah, I mean, Gandhi was brilliant. And it's quite surreal seeing him with a rosette on, just sat at the back of the stage. And stuff like that was quite odd.
So. And it's won 3 awards as well from 2007-2008. It's won some awards at short film festivals.
Yeah.
Best Short Film, Audience Award, and a special award. And no wonder, I think. So if you've never watched short films before, you can go to indiemoviesonline.com and you can watch these for free. There's no ties apart from interspaced at points throughout the short or the feature. You'll get an advert. Now, in a short film, it's usually one in the middle.
I didn't get any adverts on that. There's one at the beginning, but you get
that's it.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think it must be every half hour, I suppose, where you get an advert.
Yes. I got one in the middle of one of them, and I can't remember which one it was. But, you know, in a short film, what we're saying is you'll get one, but start, middle, whatever. In a feature, I think you're likely to get 3, aren't you?
Yeah, it's around about that.
And they're all spaced evenly, 1 advert, so it's no big deal. It helps them to pay to get these movies on the site. And if you want to, you can join up as well, and you can rate them, and you can share them through Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. It's a really good site. I really enjoyed it. I think you brought this up, Mark, when we talked about it ourselves. It's a bit hard to find the films, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You have to kind of have a play around a little bit to find some hidden gems. But there's tons of hidden gems on there. I've watched Chopper, because that's on it as well. But you have to kind of have a fiddle around either in the short category or the full film category. And then there's kind of different headings and stuff. But they've made a pretty good job of matching the film to the heading. So, you know, you can expect to find film under a heading. And there's some stuff in there which is just brilliant. So I would never have watched in a million years, but...
Yeah, so we can talk about the features when we do the features one, but on the short films especially, they're all split up into all sorts of categories. So you can look at all short films, there's 3 minutes. There's one dedicated just Aardman, and there's a... why did I say it like that? Aardman. And there's a lot of short films from Aardman that I've never seen there before. You've got animation, BFI shorts, comedy, culture, drama, environment, sci-fi, technology. So that's great if you're looking for something like that. It's just, I wish that when we're seeing the blurb underneath the film, so that, for instance, I'm looking at I Am Bob just now. It's a bit like IMDb. It lists some facts, director, Don Dreis, writer, Don Dreis, cast. If those were linkable and you could click on them and see all the films related to them on the site, I think it'd be a lot easier to find some of these films as well. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, spot on. There's some really, really good films in there. And short-wise, there's... You pointed one out to me. It is an Aardman one. It's Astronauts.
Yeah.
A nice little one. It's like an eight-minute short. And there's a lot of these little eight-minute, five-minute, three-minute shorts that are really, really good. Well worth watching.
And it's worth pointing out some of the documentaries as well. Because there's some really good stuff in there that you wouldn't normally get. And I've not kind of seen in mainstream cinema. There's a really good one called I Love Alaska, which is about AOL in 2006, published the search histories of 500,000 internet users. And it's about that. And it's just brilliant.
All right. So out of the three, I think Secret Weapons was rubbish. Where's the Money, Ronnie? Was okay. And I Am Bob was freaking excellent. Great choice, Mark. How about you guys? Stephen?
I thought the Cronenberg film was... I've just started marking films on IMDb, and I think I'm going to give it a 1 because there's no 0. There's no reason not to give I Am Bob a 10 because there's nothing wrong with it. It's a short. It's perfect. And the Shane Meadows film, it was 12 minutes and it was fine. It wasn't brilliant. You can see it's Shane Meadows and you can see how he gets to where he is now. It was a good film.
Mark?
Yeah, I'd mirror that apart from I'm currently penning a letter to David Cronenberg to ask him for 22 minutes of my life back because I thought it was just appalling. Yeah, the Shane Meadows one I thought was actually, you know, was pretty good. I'd give that a 7 or 8 simply for the fact it's like, you know, you're seeing this raw talent developing. But I Am Bob is just genius.
Well, there we go. So get yourselves onto indiemoviesonline.com and go and search for I Am Bob. I'll probably put a link up on it so you can see it as well. And go and watch that. It's only, how long is it? It's
20 odd minutes. Is it? It's not long.
I can't even see it.
It's less than 20. It might be 18, 19 minutes.
19 minutes. There you go. It's only 19 minutes. And honestly, it'll be 19 minutes you'll love. And that's a promise. All right, so thanks very much, Mark and Stephen.
Anytime, it's been a pleasure.
Good, yeah.
Speak to you later. Cheers, bye.